This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
You're now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
It's like when you get a hooker in Vietnam and you stick your hand down their pants. Like, that should not be there at all. There's extra stuff down there.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, we bring you the second half of Deese's interview on the Happy to Be Here podcast with Exact Change and Matisse. And now your host. Just like the president, he's been acquitted of some things too, but just because he's been acquitted doesn't mean he wasn't guilty of them. Deese Casillas.
Malab Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode of The Social Hour. This week, we are going to bring you the second half of the interview I got to do with Exact Change and Matisse of the Happy to Be Here podcast. So go to algorithmnorthwest.com and check out my episode. You get full video broadcast, everything, the whole thing right there. You can, you know, listen to two halves here. It was a good show, man. That's a great podcast over there. I've got some people, man, people that listen to that show. I've had a couple of people already hit me up and tell me they heard me on that show. They heard my pleas, what I'm going to do for May when I'm mayor of Spokane. And I think I got a couple more votes, man. Going to make it. We're going to get you into that real quick. Before we do that, it's just a couple things. It's been a good week for me, guys. 2019 is kicking in. It just started with February 1st. I feel like February 1st is when 2019 actually, or 2019. What the fuck am I doing? 2020 started for me. We've got some things, some big things on the horizon this year. I've got a lot of shit I want to do this year. I think being on this show with Exact and Matisse motivated me. I am going to reinvigorate my hip hop career. Musical career coming in hot. Dropping some hot bars for you. No, I'm not going for a full career, but I think I'm going to get with one of these guys I know. I'm going to drop a feature on something, man. I want to drop a feature on one of these guys' albums, and we're going to do this shit. So check out for that soon. I think that's, just to say I did it. Fuck it. Let's do it. Who cares? Who gives a shit, right? Just fucking do drugs. Kill some people. I don't care. I'm enjoying the year. After a hectic last couple of months, things are settling down. It's been good. I saw a movie last night. I saw Birds of Prey. The new DC movie with Margot Robbie. I just thought that I had seen a bad movie. Then I woke up the next morning, got online, and I found out it's because I'm sexist. Apparently, if you don't like that movie, you hate women. Not you can just identify a garbage movie. It was a bad movie, guys. It was a bad movie. And it's one of these things that I hate because they just want to say, oh, you didn't like it because you're a guy and fuck you, hate women. I'm like, well, that's weird because I also loved Wonder Woman. I love Captain Marvel. Both movies full of women with one, you know, male, female lead. I didn't like Birds of Prey as a movie about multiple females. So maybe I'm not a misogynist. I'm just a monogamist. I'm just a romantic and I like my women one at a time. Not like a fucking heathen or a moron at a time. Not Tom Cruise. Just dicks flying at him. movie. It was quite unremarkable. I disliked it quite a bit. And not only that, I ratio. Two people saw it. One guy, one girl. We both hated it. So It's because you're a guy. It's because you're against this or that. And some fucking article was about, it's like people were hating it because it's like this takedown on rape culture. I'm like, it was just a movie about some girls beating people up. I didn't like it because I think it's fine. I don't care. Just wish they put less emphasis on it. They draw a line in the sand. I feel like they're forcing people to be angry and mad at each other and fucking hate each other. It's ridiculous. I did see Jojo Rabbit recently, though. If you haven't seen that, that is a great movie. Go see that. We're trying to get back on track with the podcast, guys, getting better at booking out guests. We've got next week, we've got Willy Woosticks in studio. He is a musician with Free the Jester, and with us, or from us, comes Knowledge. He's been on the show before. He's going to be in studio again. And then we got Jay Mitz, former news anchor Jay Mitz, coming back to the show. Looking forward to having her on. We've got a bunch more people coming up. I'm going to interview Michael Glatzmeyer. He's back in town, other half of the Nearly Famous comedy duo. It's going to be a good couple weeks, guys. We're going to get into this episode of me talking Exact Change. We talked about a bunch of stuff. But as for upcoming shows, tonight I am doing a private event. You can't come. Tomorrow night I will be at the Viking hosting adult comedy bingo. And the 14th, Valentine's Day, I'll be spending it with my love, Michael Glatzmeyer, in Lewiston, Idaho at Shooters. So come check that out. And guys, that's it. I'm going to get out of here. Take a listen to this episode. And we will see you next week with Willy Woosticks. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, you know, America's that's all right. I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna start in Spokane because I'm running for mayor in Spokane. So we're gonna change that.
Vote for Deese. Yeah, for Deese. I saw that.
2023, I'm running.
2023.
That's the next election. I'm starting.
Are you really gonna do it?
I am. Yeah, I really am. I'm ramping up. I've already filled out the paperwork. And I've
got. That's a big announcement.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna do it. I think I can win. Listen, worst case scenario, it's a great publicity stunt.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It gets me all sorts of press.
In local news.
Yeah. Undeserved
local
press.
Local idiot.
Yeah.
What are you about to change? You're about to change the city. Yeah. Undeserved.
Yeah.
What kind of thing? What are you going to do for the people?
Man of
here?
The people, bro. Yeah.
I do have some. First of all, I'm going to run my campaign based on transparency. Like, I'd say I would do a podcast once a week, Social Hour, every Wednesday on deesecomedy.com. Check it out. Where I say crazy shit, I've said the worst shit a man can say for the last 5 years once a week, and then I broadcast it to the world. You can look at my Twitter. You can look at my Facebook. I have a calendar that tells you where I'll be and what time saying horrible things on stage. Fucking come find me, okay? I do not hold my opinions back. Transparency, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to pretend I'm the best person in the world, but I've been through some shit. I'm not the worst person. I'll at least be honest with you. All these other fucking people are lying-ass criminals that are going to tell you, make you hear what you want to hear just so you'll vote for them, but they don't give a shit and they're not that person. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to run a smear campaign on myself. Get ahead of the curve, okay?
Get it all out.
Yeah, get it all out there. I'll be like, it'll be me in the woods, right? Like I'll be in the woods. Not the scary woods, like the good woods. It's bright.
The good woods.
Yeah, and
peaceful
woods. And I'm holding the baby. Maybe feeding a baby. The logistics are weird. Don't ask a lot of questions. I'm like suckling a baby. And I'm like,
suckling.
And then I'll look over at the camera like, oh, hi. I didn't see you there. And then I'll lift the baby up and a bald eagle, you know, American flag colors, obviously, patriot, swoops down, picks up the eagle gently, or picks up the baby gently, gentle talons, swoops it off.
Gentle talons.
And I'll go, hi. I'm Deese Casillas, future mayor of Spokane. And I would like, and in this campaign, there's a lot of candidates running, but would you vote for someone who said this? And then I'd point at a air bubble that we would you know, put in right in post.
Added in post.
And yeah. It would say me. It'd be a quote of something horrible, and then that I said. And then it would be paid for by the people against Dees Casillas to vote Dees Casillas for like
fucking demise.
So
can I suggest the Virgin Mary abortion?
Is that what? Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, that's a good one. I'll start with that one.
That's a good start.
Let's get it all on the table.
But I do have some ideas for the city. I think I moved here and I fell in love with this town. I think there's some one of the big things I want to do is I would start getting on the police department to, I'm going to make speed traps illegal in this town. I think it is a fucking joke. I think it is just a cheap excuse to rape our citizens from their fucking hard-earned money. Go do your fucking job and actually try to stop a goddamn crime. You hiding on a street corner somewhere and waiting for someone to speed past you is not you doing your job. That is criminal. That is borderline. Go on a corner and put your fucking boot out and beg for money with some goddamn dignity. Mm-hmm. You pieces of shit. None of this speed trap shit. Just people getting to and from work.
So what is it? Is there like a quota or something?
Yeah, it's just money. It's just money. It's just money. That's all it is.
More money.
They just need. That is not them doing their job. Listen, if you're driving around, you're patrolling, and you see someone speeding, you catch them speeding. That's fair. You got it, man. You're doing your job. You're out doing your job. Mm-hmm. But you just sitting on a corner exclusively waiting for people to speed by you is a waste of our waste. You are not active. We have way bigger problems in this town.
You're basically a fucking hall monitor.
Yeah, man. It's bullshit.
There's a lot of tweakers in the summer.
Yeah, there's
there should be no speed traps in the summer.
You know what?
If you're speed trapping in the winter because you're like, yo, the tweakers are, you know, they're indoors.
Yeah.
They're you know, building camps and like fires and like hanging out, you know.
Yeah.
But in the summer, when they're out in the alleys.
Everywhere.
Everybody's lawnmower is at risk.
It could be a push mower. It's still at risk.
Dude, it could be one of those mowers with the blades on them. Yeah.
The rotary ones.
That
So you're an advocate for tweaker traps then?
Yeah. Ooh, hey, man.
Ooh,
yeah.
Shift the focus.
To tweaker traps. Trap the tweakers. I like... I also have a big... I think Spokane's been really horrible about developing our downtown. We're the second biggest city in Washington State, and we treat it like a cow town. And we're growing. We got to deal with it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. First thing I would do is I'd move the bus plaza out of downtown. Bus plaza goes to Sprague and Freya by the Fred Meyer.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
But it'll be close to the freeway. The new 395 is going to go right there by the 90, and the 395 is going to correct right there.
So
connect right there, Sprague and Freight, north south.
North south. Yeah.
So two big major freeways you can get everywhere in town. Buses are a pain in the ass to get in and out of downtown. It's tight spaces. Also, just brings all sorts of unsavory characters downtown, and they hang out there and cause trouble. So ruined our downtown. Move the bus plaza. There's no reason for it to be downtown Spokane. And I also think if you own a business downtown, you will get a parking pass for free parking downtown. No more paying, no fucking with these meters, man. You bring hundreds of thousands of dollars tax revenue to Spokane with your business. You pay licensing for that business every year. You don't have to fucking we're not going to nickel and dime you for parking.
For parking.
Yeah. I know
that's not already a thing.
No, man.
That could be your one platform. I don't even own a business. I'd vote for that.
I know guys who own restaurants downtown that were riding dirty for years because they had so many parking tickets they couldn't even afford to pay the parking tickets so they could renew their tabs. Because they had so many goddamn parking tickets because they're, you know, you go in a restaurant and you pay your, you know, you plug your meter. If you own a restaurant, man, restaurant can get busy at any minute and you could be fucked. You may not have time in 2.5 hours to run out and replug your meter. Yeah. Or legally, you have to move your car also. Legally, you can't replug a meter. You have to move your car, which is also a ridiculous law.
Yeah, they have it set up now where you can pay through the app. So like you can go to this little website and put in your card and pay for it or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you try to re-up your parking, they say, no, fuck you. Yeah. You got
to
go move your car.
Legally, you have to, you can fill the meter, but once it's up, legally you're supposed
What's
to move
the logic
your car.
Behind that
turnover
law?
They want more people to come to be able to use
that,
those
that really
meters.
Is what this is all about.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I the because I actually yelled at a lady, Jan Quintrell. She was a city council member. I yelled at Jan Quintrell in a city council meeting years ago. I think I called her a cunt, which that's when they kicked me out. But they were changing the meters downtown during the holiday season. They're making it so they were 2 hours max instead of 3 hours max. And then they were upping the time. And then they were upping the cost of the times, so like, you know, a dime instead of getting you 15 minutes got you 8 minutes or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. And then they were making it so they put in these meters where if you pulled away it would zero out your time, so the money, so like now if you pull away, if you put $2 in, you stay for 10 minutes, you pull away, that $2 still in the meter, someone else can use it, right?
Gift it,
right? So I'm like, Jan, my first question was, Jan, why are we making it so people, it's, there's less time on the meters? She goes, well, we want turnover in downtown. We want more people coming downtown to park and spend money. I'm like, Jan, these people already came downtown.
Yeah.
Like, they're here. What do we, would you want to put Koreans on rooftops with shotguns to keep people out of fucking downtown? Like, do you want, like, nobody's driving from the north side, parking on a meter, and then hopping a Greyhound to fucking Poughkeepsie. They're downtown spending money. They're already here. Like, what are you trying to get rid of them for? Let them keep spending money. Make another parking lot. Put new parking up. Don't restrict people for who are already here and make them want to. That's going to make them not want to come downtown at all.
Yeah.
And then, then we talked about the meters zeroing out, which they actually took those out. Those didn't last long. So I like to think I did some good. I'm like, well, why does it zero out? And she goes, you know, people should be able to leave it. And if someone else gets to use it, you know, they get to use your time. I'm like, well, she goes, well, that's not fair because you put the money in. That's not their time. They don't just get it. And I go, okay, then why do you get it? Does that money get refunded to the person or does it fucking go to the city of Spokane? No, the city of Spokane just gets it, right? So why is it your money? And not the citizens' money. I'm like, fuck you, that's bullshit. So, you're just stealing this money from the citizens.
That's this mindset of a lot
of
people.
That's the politicians.
That's in there like, well, that's... some people... I mean, I always thought that politicians were supposed to be in the mindset of the people.
No, man, the criminals. They're all criminals. It's all... Every single... that's one of my newest hashtags I've been using all the time is all your politicians are criminals. That's like, that is literally like, I don't care what side of the aisle they're on, what they're good for, what they're for. Like, I think they are all criminals. Listen, I voted for Obama twice. I still think he's a criminal in ways. He's, I guarantee you he's done illegal things. Maybe not as bad as other presidents, but I have no idea, bro. I don't even know. It's all about the money. And I always say it like this, anyone who wants to be in public office like that, like has a personality disorder already. Like, it's like if you had kids in Boy Scouts and you're like, all right, who's going to take the kids up to Mount Shasta this weekend? And like Rick's hand fucking raises right away. I'm like, all right, not you. You fuck kids. Why do you want to go do this? This is a shitty job, man. Nobody wants to spend a weekend on Mount Shasta with these assholes. Yeah. Like, you, what are you doing to these kids? I'm going to find the guy who's like, didn't even come to the meeting with his kid and is at home watching a sports center and be like, you don't give a shit about this. You got no skin in the game. You don't want to do this. So you're going to make sure and do the best job. You like get in and out and just do this shit practically. You don't have an ulterior motive.
Well, that's a really weird way to look at it. Oh my God.
I don't know.
Where are your shows at?
What do I got coming up?
With Michael, right?
Let's see here. I've got a bunch of private events we're doing, actually.
Ooh,
but I will be
exclusive.
Yeah, dude. I hooked up this run of golf courses, and damn, dude, they country clubs. Man, old white people got money.
That Mar-a-Lago money.
And there's a lot of good jokes for them. Yeah, you're going to just roast them.
We will be at Shooters in Lewiston on the 14th, and then the Spokane Comedy Club on the 15th. I got a show at TT's Old Iron Brewery in Spokane Valley on the 28th. And just go to deescomedy.com/calendar check. That's where I put all my dates. So, yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
So beautiful. And, man, that show for Tony, man, was fucking...
Yeah.
It was really good, dude.
It was beautiful.
It was just really good. It was really... Everybody had, like, a really cool story, and it just was... I don't know. It was just a smooth flow of just funny people really... kind of just being on stage and just like letting all that
out,
you know, and for us just sitting there, man, I saw people just rolling, man.
Good. That's good.
People just rolling. It was great. It's
therapy.
It was very therapy. Yeah. It was cathartic in a lot of ways. It was a long couple of weeks leading up to that for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, cause man, Tony's my best friend. That guy was I wrote with that guy, did shows mm-hmm. with that guy. Yeah. I mean, I've known him for years. Literally, when I sat on stage, we used to stay up and talk till 4:30 almost every morning on Messenger, just BSing every night.
Really?
And that was like every just fucking
sending
night.
Each other stuff
just talking shit, talking about shows, sending each other jokes, and mm-hmm. I mean, just and it's been weird. It's been that's probably been the weirdest thing is adjusting, like
kind of like a void.
Yeah, there. I mean, there's times I'm at the comedy club during a show, and I'll be like, "Oh, that's funny," and I'm like, "I gotta go tell that to Tony," and then he's just, not there, man. Yeah. But the show was good. It just was a good, really great kind of shows how many people he affected. You know,
I thought it was really fucking cool. Dan came out.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. I was talking to Dan about something else. He's kind of a buddy of mine. We just talk every now and then. Like, I shot him a text about something else, and then we were talking. And then he's like, "Oh, I think so." Something for that show, and I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, Lynn, his wife. I don't know." He's like, "Yeah, I'm doing that show. Do you want me to do that show?" I'm like, "You want to do the show?" He's like, "No, do you want me to?" Because his wife found out about it. I was like, "You should do it." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to tell you no, man. Like, if you want to do this show, like, yeah, you definitely do this show. That sounds great." Dan Cummins was nice enough to come out and do a set, which was huge. Mm-hmm. That was really...
That's funny, man.
Yeah. Because he lives 40 minutes away now. So
really?
Yeah. Because he grew up in the area. He was born in, like, Riggins.
Idaho?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like... it's like... 40 minutes in one direction of Coeur d'Alene, or maybe less. And then he went to Gonzaga. Hmm. He actually went to Gonzaga. He started doing comedy at Good Times in Spokane Valley. That's where he started doing comedy.
Fucking good times, man.
Don't they have like a stripper pole or like a
they
cage?
They used to.
They had cages.
Like, I don't know if they sell the cages. They may sell them up. They don't use them anymore.
No.
When I moved here, Good Times was lit, man. That place was off the wall bonkers.
Yeah.
And then it just fell off completely.
Why?
I don't know.
Liquor control board coming in there. Some weird
question. They took the car off the wall outside. It all went to shit, bro.
Yeah.
What? There's a car?
There was a car.
There's
like
half a car.
Yeah.
Like, in the wall.
In a nice artistic way?
Yeah. I mean,
or
like
a destruction.
Like a 50s diner style way. You know, they put like half an old Impala coming out of a wall, like that type of thing.
Yeah, because we had one of those at like the spot of the on the north side too, right?
Oh,
there
yeah.
Was that spot
it was at Swax, or what used to be Swax.
What used to be Swax.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell.
When I was a kid, bro, that was always
Soul
a landmark.
Lounge or whatever now.
The Soul.
House of Soul.
That's what it is?
Yeah, it's the House of Soul now.
I don't even...
That
it's
place
just,
has been so many things.
It's so many things that you're just... You can't. I don't even... I'm just like, what is it? Yeah. Okay, it'll change.
Yeah.
Dude. We had some shows up there. My dad was like, "You mean the old Swack Hammers?
Yeah.
I used to perform these."
Swack Hammers?
Yeah, you used to be
Swack Hammers,
man. Back
in
the day.
Yeah.
Swack.
I think that's what it was when I moved here. It was still Swack Hammers. Then it became Swacks. And then it was... maybe the Spotlight for a minute, and then it was the Omega Lounge.
Omega.
Yeah, and the Emperor Room.
Emperor Room.
Yeah, Neil owned it.
Yeah,
then.
That's right. I mean, it's been so...
And that was the last one, right?
No, it was Omega Lounge was the one before it is now, which is the House of Soul.
Oh,
and House
okay.
of Soul was downtown, and then
so,
they
so
moved
same
up
thing
there.
With the Palomino Club. Remember that other one
Francis
is just like right
and
over
whatever.
Weird little
yeah, there
spot.
Was like that.
Is that still
spot.
Open? Didn't
no.
it burn down or something?
I don't know if it burned down. I know it closed. It was the Palomino for a while. We saw Devin the Dude there.
I saw Devin the Dude there.
I saw Devin the Dude at the B side before it was where Garageland is now.
Oh, wow.
On Spray, on whatever that is, Riverside or whatever. Mm-hmm. This was when I first moved here, like 9 years ago. He played there. I mean, the stage is like as big as this room, you know?
Really? Yeah.
And he came in like an hour late and just in. I remember sitting there around this show. I'm like, how many of these fucking people know who this guy is? Like, I know who he is, but like, do these guys know who this guy is?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm actually always surprised when I'm at a Devin the Dude show to see like how many other motherfuckers are like, oh, I'm like, oh shit, you know this shit too. Yeah. Hey, all right, cool. Like, because I was in Seattle and it was just, I mean, just big crowd of people. Just everybody knew the words and it was just like, damn, bro. Like, cause he, I mean, he's my favorite rapper. So So it's just,
all right.
Just
like, he got a Devin hat on right now.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Devin gave me this hat. It was good luck. But I just like smooth shit.
Yeah.
In general. And he's just got a lot of little funky
like
smooth
some De La Soul.
Oh yeah, dude.
Stuff of Far Side, stuff like that.
Even just like older, you know, like Marvin Gaye and stuff like that. Like I can just listen to that stuff all day, bro. Any kind of just smooth, you know, just vibey stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hate to use the word.
I saw, not Marvin Gaye, but I saw Al Green live at the Hollywood Bowl.
You, really?
Yeah.
Where?
Hollywood Bowl in L.A.
Damn.
Yeah, I got, he played, this is when I was still living down there, and he had a show at the Hollywood Bowl, which is a great venue. It's outside venue that they do shows at in LA. It's on this hillside, and just so all the seats are like stadium seating raised up this hillside, and they've got this little like looks like, you know, one of those half dome opera, but the acoustics are just, it's one of the best places for bands because the acoustics are just fucking amazing. And I got tickets to go see this show. He was playing. I'm like, oh man, I cannot pass up an opportunity to see. I love Al Green.
Yeah,
I can't pass up an opportunity to
see
Al. And man, that motherfucker still had it. Just you got the little moves, little two step, and fucking just belting it out still. I'm like, God damn, this guy is still.
Is he alive still?
I think Al Green's still alive.
We gotta look that up, bro.
Yeah, please look that up, man. He was.
But this was like, it was when I still lived in LA. This had to have been 13 years ago, maybe more. So
he was that I wanna get close.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, man. A lot of that smooth stuff, man. Damn. In LA, you know, you get a lot of opportunities, I'm sure, growing up in LA to kind of see cooler shit that people in Spokane don't get to see.
Oh,
like Al Green.
Al Green. I sang karaoke with Nate Dogg at a bowling alley on the north side of Long Beach.
Al Green is alive, by the way.
Al Green is alive. Yeah, good. World's a better place. World's a better place with Al Green alive.
Okay.
But yes, so he must have been around 60 because this is like 13 years ago.
God damn.
But yeah, especially growing up and living in Long Beach, man, a lot of those guys who were rappers, like with coming up with Snoop, I don't know how. I don't know how much other people know about a lot of these guys, because like to me they were like I love G-Funk. That's my favorite type of hip hop. But there's a lot of tangentially related, like Dog Pound artists that never blew up to the point where like a lot were still just living in Long Beach, man. Mm-hmm. Like guys like, you know, Trady or Badass or Technique or even
Badass
even,
is dope.
Dude, Badass, he just dropped a new album like last about 6 months ago that
damn.
Fucking slaps, by the way. Opening track, I Like My Shit Knocking, is dope. Check it out.
I'm not familiar.
That's been my jam for a while, actually.
Badass is dope.
But yeah, like this girl I knew who was kind of dating, she calls me one night and she's like, hey, you got to come to the Carson Bowling Alley. So on Carson Boulevard on the north side of Long Beach. And I'm like, nah, I'm just downtown. She goes, no, you got to come up here. And I'm like, why? She goes, we're just doing karaoke. You just trust me, come up here. And I'm like, she goes, listen, just come up here. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. So I'm like, they're all the way across town. I'm like, all right. I go up there, walk in, and there's just Nate Dogg sitting there singing karaoke. And she's like, yeah, dude, he's been here all night. He's just hanging out. So I started talking to him, and I guess he went up there like pretty regularly and just sang. And we would, like, he was a cool dude. He'd just hang out and sing songs. And, you know, because he's one of those guys, like, again, if without context, like I always said, if you were walking through a mall and you saw Brad Pitt without context, you probably wouldn't realize you saw Brad Pitt.
Right.
You know, because like if you're in Hollywood or you're at a movie premiere, like your mind's kind of like, I might see a star. But if you're just walking through a fucking Dick's Sporting Goods in, you know, Carson, California, and see Brad Pitt, your mind isn't like, your mind's like, that guy looked like Brad Pitt, maybe. Like, that's probably.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right. Yeah. You're not like going to pursue it.
Yeah.
So like Brad.
Yeah, you look like a psycho. I like, just run what? After. He's no, like, man, no, I work no. here.
Exactly. Exactly. You know that.
My name
happen.
Tag says Nick. we, but yeah, so I mean, met him. We, I ended up at a barbecue at Warren G's aunt's house. Warren G was there. Like, we, my buddy B. Smith, this dude at Ohio that moved to Long Beach to do hip hop music. We used to hang out and do music together and hang out and shit. And we were going to a barbecue. We got invited to a barbecue and we stopped by a grocery store to pick up some food. And we're walking down the aisles and I look down and I see this guy and I go, dude, I think that's Warren G. And he's like, what? And he looks at me and he goes, I think it is too. And he just dropped an album called The Midnight Hour. It was like his fourth album. And it's a really good album. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to tell him I like that album. Yeah, I just went up, I'm like, hey, man, what's up, man? I'm like, my name's Deese. I just want to say, like, I grew up in Long Beach. Like, your last album, Midnight Hour, is dope. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'm like, that's all I want. Like, I don't like to bother people. I just want to let him
right,
know.
Right, right, right.
And I'm like, he's like, oh, hey, well, thanks, man. Thanks, man. He goes, what's your name? I'm like, Deese. And he goes, right on. And we started talking for a second. He goes, oh, what are you guys doing? He goes, I'm like, well, we're going to this barbecue. And hanging out. And I tell him where he goes. Oh, no shit. He goes, that's my aunt's house. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, I'm headed over there too. That's where I'm going. He was picking up food and going to the same barbecue. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll see you there, man. And like, we just like hung out at this barbecue with Warren G and a bunch of other people and just kicking it.
And it's just like a normal thing.
Yeah, it was just, that shit happens all the time.
He seems pretty chill. I opened for him probably about 5 or 6 years back.
Yeah?
That was me and Cody did that show.
Nice.
I got to chop it up with him briefly. But yeah, he seemed real down to earth.
Where at?
The Red Room.
At the Red Room?
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Oh, I remember when he did that.
Yeah,
man. Warren G, man. He's.
I met a lot of rappers over the years, man. I mean, Ice Cube, Ice-T, Coolio. I smoke weed at a studio in Denver. Well, in more like just closer to Pueblo, Colorado, with Daz and Corrupt.
Nice.
Oh, that's
they were recording some shit there.
Daz and Corrupt, man. That'd be cool to meet them.
Listen
to their music a lot.
All that old school, you know, G-Funk, West Coast Gangster, early West Coast Gangster, Dog Pound, Death Row stuff that's my jams right there. I mean, I love other hip hop, but that is where it's at for me.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
Did you used to rap?
I did.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Did you have a rap name?
There's music. I used to go, man, my buddy used to call me Diablo. Cause he said I was a fucking I was a pretty crazy kid, man.
Diablo.
Like Diablo. I was a pretty crazy kid. I was the kid who was young and hung with all the older guys. And when you hung with the older, like my cousins were all West Side Longos, which is like a big Mexican gang in Long Beach.
Hmm.
And when you were the young guy hanging with all the old guys, you had to keep up and you had to do the crazy shit. Otherwise you couldn't hang, man. So like I got a reputation of being able to do fucking anything.
So it was Diablo.
Yeah.
So you like what was it like making rap albums in the early 80s? Like
you know, break beats, you know, a lot of reel to reel, just cutting those tapes with razor blades. It was crazy, man. I liked it. I liked doing it a lot. I liked producing music. Like actually I liked making beats and music and stuff. And I did that for a while. I actually had to quit. When I quit is because I did it when I lived in Northwest for a while too, and then I did it when I moved back to LA. And my buddy, the people I was doing music with, Long Beach is a big Crip neighborhood, and a lot of them were gang affiliated. And there was one party we were at, like some shit kept happening, and there was one party we were at, there was a shooting. And one of our homeboys got shot, and like it just got crazy to the point. And I'm just going, I'm like, man, I got out of all this shit. I'm like, this is the lifestyle I got out of. Like, I want to do music. I don't want to do this. And it was just got to the point where it's like, they're too tied together. Mm-hmm. Like where I'm at, how I'm doing music. I'm like, so I had to just fucking
what
had to walk
fuck?
Away, man.
This is the craziest fucking story I've ever fucking heard.
I just
like, oh, you used to rap, Deez? Yeah. Long Beach, bitch. Had to quit. Too rough. Motherfucker.
This is a crazy story. God, my big takeaway though. I want a beat from Deez, man. I need Deez to make me some beats. I don't shoot nobody.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could it was like we didn't have the shit, and this was 10 to 15 years ago, longer. Oh, like, it wasn't like, you know, we didn't have what, you know, people make shit on their phone now.
I don't even know,
like,
too.
It's crazy.
Man, it's crazy.
It's beyond me. I can't do that part.
My buddy had a studio and stuff. We'd fuck around all the time. I mean, I loved it, but I mean, I literally had to walk away. I couldn't stop talking to all the people I knew. I moved out of Long Beach, even, man. I moved down to North Orange County because I was just like, I'm not trying to get sucked up in this game. I grew up in this shit. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to do it again. And it was like, I can do music or I can live.
So you weren't into music and doing that really, like, when you came up here to
when
Spokane?
No, that was before I gave it up, and I still lived in LA or California for a couple more years before
before you moved. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh. Man, and then got into comedy.
Yeah, and then got into comedy, man, and it's
just, and like, was it so, like, when you were doing music, were you doing like live shows and stuff like
that?
We
did some, yeah. Yeah. My buddy used to have this, actually. My buddy had this house, this condo on Beach Boulevard in Long Beach, which is just a block from off the beach, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was empty. We just used it for parties. For like private parties or doing events, and we'd put on shows there. One of my favorite memories of that place is I met this. So there's a South Bay, which kind of is west of Long Beach, northwest of Long Beach. It's really rich area, a bunch of rich white people and mm-hmm. stuff, and Torrance and all that area. And I invited this white couple I knew. I mean, they're like my age, but these just like grew up rich white. And
is that important for the story later?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, they, oh, a white couple.
It is important for that. I only bring up race if it's important. And they,
it's a callback.
They come back.
Industry term.
Yeah. I get a call and they're like, hey, we're in our car. We're parked near the address. Can you come out and get us? I'm like, sure. And I come outside. And there's, I get him like, all right, hey, come on in. Like, okay, is this okay? Are we okay? It's like nighttime in downtown Long Beach. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like, well, we were worried about this guy. And there's this dude. I don't know what his real name was. I called him Rocky. But he walked up and down the block. He always, you know, had a big blue, like, marshmallow puffy coat on.
Mm-hmm.
Walked up and down the block, just walked out. All I saw him doing was always walking up and down the block with his hand in his coat like this. Just in his car, that's, you know, all the time. And we walk by, and they're like, and I'm like, what's up, Rocky? He's like, hey, what's a good night, man? I'm like, nothing, man, chilling, having a party. He goes, cool. And then,
oh,
like,
so this guy's not part of the party?
No, I had no idea.
This is
that's just an alley guy.
Just
a guy out on the street.
they go,
what's that guy doing? When you pass him, like, I don't know, probably selling crack. And like, yeah. Like, or try selling drugs. I'm like, do you want to ask him? They're like, no. I go, neither do I. So
like, let's move on.
They're like, do you know him? I'm like, not really. That's the most exchanges we have. Like, he's pleasant, you know? And they go, I don't know. Is it safe with him here? I go, honestly, I'd feel less safe if he wasn't here. Because if he's not here, then something has gone wrong. Something is going down if Rocky's not here. Yeah. Like, I know that there's a problem happening in the area.
So that's how you know the order is kept.
Yeah.
Wow. Got him there, bro.
Bro, that's that. Like, when you're in that environment, that's the thing that your brain does to keep yourself safe.
Yeah. That's like when you see animals running out of the forest
right.
first.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like if Rocky's gone, it's like when the birds are flying away in a horror movie. Like down. A flock of birds, you see them, just like, where are they all going? And then next thing you're getting attacked by something. You're like, hey, you shouldn't figure it out, man. It's a natural order. It's the instinct. They know what's going on. So, but yeah, we used to do live shows and, oh, man, yeah. It was.
So the transition from kind of doing a live, you know, you were used to being in front of people and kind of entertaining.
Yeah, I think just growing up the way I did too is like it was a lot of, I guess I never realized it until later, but like kind of high pressure, high stakes. So you kind of learn to be calm when there's chaos around you. Mm. Like it was always chaos around, but like to me it didn't seem like chaos. It was just life. You know, I didn't know.
You didn't know any better.
I didn't know a different way. I just knew that that's how it was. So as I got older, I realized, I'm like, oh, that's bad. Yeah, it made me realize, like, I don't have a pulse. Like, I don't.
Like you said, yeah.
I just kind of, like, everything's very.
Oh, that's good. And that really helps you be able to get up and just try the craziest shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I can go for it, man. I'll say anything. I don't care. I got no reputation.
I love it. I love it. Dude, I definitely speak for everybody, okay? I want to see like more like that fun content shit, like on the Instagram and shit. That, man, because just like some of that like great, those gems, even if it's just like a little preview to like, oh shit, go to that YouTube. He uploaded that new video. Because seriously, I was going through the YouTube and I was like, how did I miss all this?
Yeah.
You know?
Most of it I get on Facebook. I can't get on Instagram because you can only do 1 minute videos.
Instagram TV.
What?
Yeah,
IGTV.
IGTV. Now you can post like a 25-minute video.
Say what? Yeah. See,
to,
I don't know, man.
Up
I don't know about
10
this.
Minutes.
Okay.
Unless you if you have 10,000 followers or a blue check, they'll let you go higher.
So 10 minutes.
So 10 minutes. Is it like tied into your regular Instagram? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like a separate app that you download. It's IGTV.
Oh, okay.
And then you can upload longer videos to it, but you can flip a little switch where it posts a preview. So basically, you'll get a 1 minute video on your Instagram feed.
Yeah.
And you just tap it and it opens the full thing.
So what about people who don't have the app? If they tap it, they
can still watch
the still thing. It links it to it.
All right.
I think you just need the app to post it, right?
Yeah. Is that so? It's just for the end, not the end user. It's just for the uploader.
I want more people to use it because it's actually cool, because when it's on Instagram TV, then you actually open it up and then you actually have like the little you know, what's that thing called? The little bar to like scan through it. Because normally when you watch a video, you just have to watch it, right? And sometimes like you can skip through stuff or, you know, it'll pause. If you exit out, you come back, it's still there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're just adding like little features that are
cool.
That's good. But
I'll have to put, I'll do that. I don't put a lot of like stand up on there.
Yeah, I get that.
I want people to, you know, I mean, I've got a lot of material, but I do, you know.
Oh, the elk shit was.
Yeah, that was just, see, shit like that.
I love that.
That's like random. That's a once in a lifetime thing. I mean, that's not in my set. That was just a conversation I was having with the audience. And this lady.
It's elk.
Yeah. I said these elks were running down the street, apparently. She's like, it's elk. I'm like, nobody likes you.
So what a waste of time.
Yeah, it was good. Bro. I'm sure a hoot at an improv show. Fuck.
Yeah, and I saw that one. That was good. I just like to be able to, I don't know. I use Instagram and Twitter both as this is like kind of my main thing. Really? I scan through it in the morning when you're sipping the coffee and you catch a good, you know, especially some of this other shit. Like, I was very entertained by that shit where you were running around town, like talking to people. And there was, I don't know if this was part of that video, but that dude that didn't know your name when he was going, was that a clip from your shit when he was like, hey, I don't know, I told you who was next. And he like just,
what?
There was some dude that was like introducing what I assumed to be you.
Yeah,
and he just like forgot your name.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I forgot it. Just fuck it.
Oh, that was Daryl Burns at the Chan's Red Dragon open mic he runs.
Oh my God. He should stop fucking hosting that. Jesus.
So we, I actually wanted to film another one of those and put them side by side to see if like more people
knew
who I was now. I thought that'd be funny. I wanted to cut it up different and see if more people would.
That one guy that you were showing, he's like Eminem. Yeah. He's like, I've never seen this guy in Spokane ever.
Yeah, like, really never? Not even in this alley? Yeah, nowhere? I told him, he's never been in this alley. Maybe the guy's like, no, definitely not. And it's like holding a picture of me next to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that. See, and that's the shit. That's why I like doing that talk show back in the day, though, because those are segments that, like, I mean, I can still film them and put them out, but, like, that was such a great bit for, like, a talk show, like a late-night talk show. Like, that's the type of thing that's, you see, like, man-on-the-street bits, and I love. I want to do more of that this summer I'm going to go out with my film crew and film some bits, like talking to people and playing games with people in the street and stuff like that. I think it's fun, but
well, it's fun to watch, dude. Yeah. I think that, I'm excited to see what summer brings, dude. Getting outside, getting out of this cold this winter and getting outside and being able to. Today was beautiful.
Yeah.
And, dude, I'm excited to see what you're doing, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, you bet, man. Thank you for having me.
Of course, bro. All right. Everybody, Deez Casillas.
Deez Comedy. Check it out.
All right, guys. Peace.
Peace.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!